Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the CEZ First Half 2010 Results Conference. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode until we conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, press star then zero on your telephone. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to hand over to the Chairperson, Barbara Sigloba. Please begin the meeting, and I will be standing by.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining this regular conference call on first half results of CEZ Group. Let me introduce today's speakers. As usual, we have Martin Novák, Chief Financial Officer here, and Alan Svoboda, Executive Director for Sales and Trading. Now let me hand over to Martin Novák, who will discuss the key events and the financial results.
Good afternoon and good morning. I will start at page two, or the first page with the text highlighting key results. Probably one of the most important highlights is our general meeting that was held on June 29th, and the dividend of 53 crowns per share, which is about 55% of net consolidated income for 2009. We are also hiving off Chvaletice power plant from CEZ. It is planned for September 1, and it will be a single entity that will own the power plant, and we'll be able to do further transactions with the asset. In July, we started refueling of nuclear fuel in unit one of the Temelín nuclear power plant, which is the newer out of our two power plants. We are changing supplier to Russian Tvel. EBITDA has decreased by 9% to 47.2 Czech crowns billion. Net income has decreased 18.5%. However, and I will explain that this actually takes in consideration adjustment in 2009, which was originally displayed in the fourth quarter, and it was a negative goodwill. There was on the Mibrak acquisition of the coal mines, 3.1 billion, which was charged to fourth quarter, but according to IFRS, as we announced, it has to be restated back to the day of acquisition, which was the second quarter of last year. Therefore, we are showing 3.1 billion higher income for 2009 than we were showing when we reported the second quarter, because the calculation was finished only by the end of the year. Now we are adjusting it back. Without this effect, it would be the decrease in net income would be similar to EBITDA, which is about 10%. Share price has reached 879 crowns, so as of August 6, and our guidance is still unchanged. Our EBITDA remains at 88.7 billion, and net income at 46.7 billion. When you look at the next page, what I told you is shown in a graphical format. There's the key year-on-year factors. One of the main factors is actually a decrease in electricity sales prices, from big part offset by our hedging strategy or dripping strategy. Then another factor is moderate growth of electricity demand, and I will discuss those things more in detail when we get to the financial part. Key risks. The key risk to our goals or achieving our goals, EBITDA net income, is effect of generation from photovoltaic power plants. Currently, Czech Republic is going through photovoltaic boom. We can see many new plants being built, and the deadline for them to be built is the end of the year. We, as one of the significant distributors, have to actually buy the electricity from the producers of such a green electricity, and we can pass the price that we pay onto the end customers through regulated distribution charge. Only in 2012, or I'm talking about the part that is not already included in the distribution charge. and as there is such a big growth in photovoltaic plants, we can see risk of about 1 to 2 billion Czech crowns hitting our earnings in 2010, being recovered back in 2012. Then another factor that we could see was higher bad debt provisions, mainly in Romania and Albania, and of course regulatory risks in Southeastern Europe. When you look at the next page, we can see that our stock has actually, the value of our stock has increased between January 1 and August 6 by 1.7%. Well, which doesn't seem to be very significant growth. On the other hand, most of other utilities went down. Also, when you can see Bloomberg European Utilities Index, it actually went down by something like 9%. Yes, is supporting the economy, but also investing into renewable of our portfolio. So, as most of you know, we work on a complex renewal of Tushinica 2 power plant, with now being stage 2 in progress, which is 2 units. We have already refurbished 2 units, so we will have 4 units in the plant. It's part of the program of refurbishing 2 plants, and this is one of them. Another plant that we are preparing for refurbishment is Prunezov 2. We have received a positive EIA opinion from the Ministry of Environment, and we are now on full speed working on the project and preparing the refurbishment. We are also working physically on a new supercritical unit in Ledvice. This is a new build in lignite. This is a lignite plant. Construction is running in accordance with the schedule. The last project in the Czech Republic construction project is preparation for construction of a CCGT plant in Počerady, which is close to our 2 or 3 projects in Lignite that I was talking about. And the project is running again in accordance with the plan. This would be our first gas-fired plant in our portfolio. When you look at the geographical territory, we still are concentrated from Central and Southeastern Europe. As you can see, we have not made any investments in Russia and Ukraine, which spared us of significant write-downs that some of our competitors had to do in terms of investment value. We are also looking at this, or we are constantly observing the projects that are available and acquisitions in the neighborhood. However, after we went through detailed assessment, we decided to not to place bid for Polish PAK. This is a complex of a few power plants that is actually being privatized. And also, we were looking at possibility investing in a company called Steag in Germany that is being sold as one with assets in Germany, Turkey, I think Philippines and Colombia. We decided not to bid for that either. Today, actually, we announced that after going through detailed analysis of Energa, which is a Polish distribution company, we decided not to place bid for Energa either. So now we are focusing on projects that are already up and running, and those are actually on the map of the Czech Republic. I was talking about a few of them. Basically, 2 refurbishments in the Czech Republic, 1 new build in Lignite, 1 gas-fired power plant, and then actually moving into heat business. Heat business is basically the only business that we can grow in the Czech Republic without facing anti-monopoly issues. So you can see acquisition of share in Pražská teplárenská, which means Prague Heating Company. This is something that is now being looked into by Brussels. We are also working on acquisition or integrating a business that we bought from Dalkia in city of Ústí, which is about 60 kilometers from Prague, so very close. And we have acquired actually entire heating business in that region. Then we are looking at the completion of Temelín nuclear power plant. This is one big project that is ahead of us. So it's actually extending Temelín. We are working on the project full speed. And in the future, extension of nuclear plant in Dukovany, but this will be only after Temelín is commissioned. At the moment, we also are commissioning the largest inland wind park in Europe, which is called Fanfarel Kozjalak, and it is in Romania, not very far from the shores of the Black Sea. Phase 1, Project Fanfarel, has 139 wind turbines. By the end of June, 114, so almost all of them, were erected, and 47 turbines were connected to the network and supplying electricity. A phase 2, Project Kozjalak, 101 turbines in total, and we already started building, or erecting the turbines. So we should complete the project by 2011. Then, so those are the key topics, key highlights for the first half of this year, and namely second quarter. And now I would guide you through the financial results. So when we look at the year-on-year net income, it fell by 6.5 billion Czech crowns. Their net income for 2009 was actually 35.2 billion. When you look into our last year's presentation, it would be 3.1 billion lower. And the main reason is restatement due to Mibrak acquisition, when we have to bring negative goodwill, which means positive effect on our earnings, back to the date of acquisition. So that's what we are doing. So on this higher base, actually, we are showing that our gross margin, which is the mid-orange bar, has dropped by 2 billion Czech crowns, and those four columns on the left are actually explaining, or between the 35.2 and 2, are explaining the main reason. So one of the most important effects was 3.9 billion Czech crowns negative impact of lower electricity prices, despite very successful hedging policy, where we hedged everything for 2010 in 2008 and 2009. Still, the prices achieved were a little bit lower than in 2009. They were far above spot prices that we were witnessing in 2010, especially in early months of the year. Other revenues and services have actually improved by 1.1 billion Czech crowns. It's mainly caused by heat business. So adding our new heat business helped us significantly. CO2 allowances are adding another 800 million crowns. There's an improvement versus last 6 months of last year. And a small impact of fuel, about 100 million Czech crowns. This is a saving on a black coal contract that was negotiated. And on the other hand, we can see a negative impact of changing fuel in Temelín, where we have to take out the fuel, the Westinghouse fuel, and replace it with well. And this operation actually cost some money. Gross margin. Then is 2 billion crowns lower than for the same period of last year, as I said. Other charges include other operating expenses, like including depreciation and amortization, 2.6 billion, and I will discuss it later. Depreciation is a little bit higher as well, and other expenses and income are 3.3 billion lower, and this is actually 3.1 out of the 3.3 is positive or negative goodwill that has positive impact on earnings in 2009 that we are not having, of course, this year because this was one of item. Therefore, it looks like there is a increased expenses, but it's actually lower income. Income tax helps us 1.9 billion, so this is what gets us to 28.7. When you look at the next page, you can see the details of gross margin. And I already discussed this part in relative details, so there's a lot of text explanation that you can read. Just a few sentences to comment. You can see that year-on-year index on electricity sales is 94%, and this 6% is actually a function of lower prices. Heat sales and other revenues is up. As I said, we are adding our business in heat business in Ústí. Also, our Polish plant, Kavina, was running on the full speed this winter versus last winter. And there was no downtime last winter or last year. Actually, we had a maintenance. The plant was closed for maintenance for part of the first half of the year. Now it's under case, so we are still supplying heat. And then there is a slight saving on fuel that I already discussed. That's where we stand on the gross margin. When we actually turn to the next page, we can see that some of the operating costs, the 2.6 billion, is actually increased year-on-year increase by 16%. Out of those 2.6 billion, however, 1.9 relates to new acquisitions, which in consolidated entities is Albanian business, and also our heat plant in Ústí, which is called Termit, and I already talked about it. It helped us actually in the revenue side, and of course it also has some costs, so we can see cost on the cost side. Same relates to salaries and wages, 10% up, but it is mainly caused by new acquisitions. Out of those 2.6 billion, as I said, coming back to 2.6 billion, 1.9 is actually new acquisitions and 0.7 is a old business. So in such a case, the increase is not very significant. Same applies basically to all categories. Important category others that went up by 1.9 billion or indexed this year-on-year index 148%, and this is caused mainly by bad debt provisions that are higher this year versus last year, mainly in Romania. There we are going through the same story as in many years, that Romanian railways are lacking cash to pay the bills. But before the end of the year, they usually get this on the state and they pay it all. And the story repeats itself every year. So, but in accordance with the policy, we have to create bad debt provisions. We also are having bad debt provisions in Albania, where the level of losses is relatively high, but this is covered by our agreement with the Albanian government backed by the World Bank. EBITDA is 9% lower, and we can see that 4.6 or lowered by 4.6 billion Czech crowns. The total number or absolute number is 47.2 billion. Depreciation is a little bit higher by 400 or by half a billion, mainly due to adding again Albanian business. Other expenses and income. When you look at the table of other expenses income. Basically the same, we already discussed those items. You can see actually interest on debt is a little bit higher, 12% higher, due to higher level of debt because of our CapEx program. Interest income is flat. Very important line item is gain and loss from associates and joint ventures. And this is actually in 2009 where 3.1 billion positive impact of buying cheaply Midrag was booked. So of course now we don't see it. In others, there is a positive improvement. It's mainly due to dividend received from Dalkia. We bought 15% of Dalkia Czech Republic business. That this is part of transaction with buying 85% of Dalkia Ústí business. So this is actually dividend that has flown back to us from Dalkia Czech Republic actually selling the company to us and then paying dividends back to its shareholders, including ourselves again. Profit before taxes is down by 8.4 billion due to those factors, and net income in total by 6.5 billion. When you look into the second quarter, everything I said about the first half basically applies to second quarter as well. So I think most important part would be again split of those items. When you look at some of circuit operating costs, that is 1.1 billion Czech crowns or 1.2 billion Czech crowns lower or higher, the cost is actually higher. About 800 million is coming from new acquisitions and about 400 million from those business that is comparable to 2009 numbers. All other items are relatively flat, and we already discussed them. EBITDA is then 1.7 billion crowns lower, and net income 4.5 billion crowns lower. When you look at segmental contribution, this is pretty much in line with what we are used to. So most of our EBITDA is generated by power production and generation in the Czech Republic. You can see actually a decline of 85% for the first half or 90% for the quarter, which is in line with the lower prices and volumes. And distribution and sale is up by 140%, which seems to be a relatively positive number, but as I said, in distribution it may be adjusted by 1 to 2 billion Czech crowns from photovoltaics, which will get returned back to us. Mining, 27%, mainly due to lower consumption of coal, partly due to our refurbishing of Tušimice power plant, where we need now less coal, it's more efficient power plant than before. Other businesses, 90%. And then when we look at Southeastern Europe, power production, distribution and sale and others is pretty much in line in absolute numbers with last year. There are swings because the numbers are fairly low, so even small movement makes relatively high percentage points. In total, we are on 91% for the first half and 92% on the second half versus 2009, or second quarter versus 2009. Balance sheet overview. When we look at our balance sheet, our assets and liabilities have reached 561 billion Czech crowns. We are, as you can see in the asset side, we are adding fixed assets. We have increased fixed assets by about 10 billion Czech crowns. Other non-current assets have grown as well. The difference is mainly acquisition of Dalkia Czech Republic stake. And then current assets are a little bit higher due to temporary higher amount of cash that we accumulated to pay the dividend. On the liability side, equity is basically unchanged because all net income that was generated in 2009, 2010 was offset by payment of the dividend, which is with a 50% payout and basically stable EBITDA, correct number. We have increased our level of long-term liabilities, which is issuing bonds. So it has risen from 140 to 160 billion Czech crowns. And short-term liabilities are basically flat due to us paying down the liabilities and creating liability on declared dividend. So then cash flow. In cash flow, you can see that there is a big change from 48 billion Czech crowns to 30 billion Czech crowns of free cash flow. This is mainly given by the changes in working capital. 4.5 billion out of the difference. So difference is about 18.3 billion versus a year on year negative. 4.5 billion is coming from lower net income, and 15 billion is coming from something that is called variation margin on power exchange, where when the prices are actually going up, we have to provide daily cash to the power exchange. When the prices fall, we are actually getting the cash. So in 2009, in the first half of 2009, prices were falling dramatically. We were receiving a lot of cash. Now prices are stable and are a little bit growing, so we are sending cash to the power exchange. So this is the main reason for the difference. I think it's described also on the right side how it works. And last slide, just to show you comparison between share of first half EBITDA, how much we generated actually quarter on quarter, looking in 2008, 2009, and 2010, and remaining half of 2002. So we generated so far 53.2% of EBITDA versus 55% in 2008 and almost 57% in 2009. We still keep our guidance. We think we will achieve our target, with depending on how actually photovoltaic electricity will develop and how much you have to pay this year to be collected back in 2012. So this is all for my part, and now I will hand over to Andrew for that, to guide us to commercial part.
Hello, this is Alan, and I will finish the presentation with some numbers from the commercial sphere. Let's start on page 20 with the forecast and historical numbers of consumption in the Czech Republic, which is a good proxy for the healthiness of the economy. And you can see that starting January this year, there's renewed growth in consumption. And in the last few months, we have seen a very strong growth, reaching up to 6-7%, and leading to an overall average growth of 4.3% of the whole first half of the year vis-à-vis the first half of last year. And even if we adjust these numbers for weather and for the number of working days and other explicit parameters, we still see a healthy 3.2% growth, way above the 1 to 2 percentage growth that we have seen prior to the economic crisis. So this means that the economy and the consumption is catching up with the is the original levels prior to the crisis. Coupled with that is also higher utilization in our generation fleet, where due to better prices, due to high availability of the nukes and also of the coal plants, we plan for this year to increase our total production by almost 8%. In the first half of the year, we achieved almost 4% growth, with the most contribution coming from the nuclear power plants, which reached year-on-year 7% growth in their utilization. In the remainder of the year, we expect most of that growth to come from the coal plants for several reasons. Number one, the spot prices are expected to improve for the rest of the year. The availability is higher. Because last year we had some scheduled repairs. This year it mainly compressed into the first half of the year. And finally, we also fine-tune the total margin optimization across the value chain, starting from mining all the way to energy sales. And this led to a slightly higher increase in utilization of the so far unused capacity. With regard to coal mining, also our daughter company SD is planning growth in mining of 5% year on year. So far, it is not yet in the semi-annual numbers because, as I said, we have some scheduled downturns for repairs and maintenance of our fleet. So far, the growth is only with regard to the third parties, but we expect to catch up with own consumption, and overall, we expect 5% growth and same share of use of the coal from the previous years, which is around 62%. Then, very important is our position vis-à-vis forward hedging. As you can see from the chart, we have accelerated our hedging of 2011 volumes for several reasons. Number one, there was a period of very, I would say, attractive 2011 prices, which we didn't want to miss. Also, we are getting closer to the actual delivery when the spot price levels are becoming more profound and therefore provide a drag on the forward prices. And also, we decided to trade the risk exposure of 2011, which we want to mitigate against the more open exposure in the years 2012 and 13, where we have good reasons to believe that our prices will grow further up. And so by waiting and not closing these positions as fast as sort of suggested by some kind of a internal benchmark trajectory, it should lead to better performance than following mechanically the strategy. overall, this led to almost 90%, or in fact by now above 90% hedging for 2011, both the commodity and also, as you see, almost 100% hedging on the currency side, which is especially important now that the currency has again, the Czech koruna is again appreciated. So so being hedged at a much better price than currently prevailing is also providing another peace of mind to our performance for the coming year. The achieved price for 2011 is above 52 euro. The achieved price for 2012 is above 51, but less than 52, so around 51.5. And the achieved price for 2013 is reaching 54 euros. So that's where we stand currently on the average base load equivalent prices for the forward hedging. Finally, some numbers from our retail campaign. As you may remember, we launched in summer sales to retail customers of natural gas, and just leveraging our own service channels without doing much campaigning and advertising. We have built up quickly a sizable portfolio of customers. So building on this success, we are now thinking how to accelerate that growth and how to quickly become a balanced supplier of electricity and gas, which most of the other foreign utilities in their respective markets already are engaged in. So that's our ambition on the retail side as well. On the remaining charts, you can see that we are quite competitive with our offers to end users, and so the target of stabilizing and maintaining our share in electricity and growing quickly our share in gas supplies is probably quite realistic, and we should be able to succeed on that time. So with that brief summary, I hand back to Barbara.
So now, operator, we are ready to take questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the star key followed by one on your telephone keypad. To cancel your question, please press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's star one to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. Our first question comes from the line of Richard Bruce. Please go ahead with the question.
Yes, good afternoon. Could you please tell me the impact that you're going to get from switching nuclear fuel to T-Val in terms of utilization of the plant and also any potential cost savings? Thank you.
So the utilization of the plant should, the main reason is that the fuel that we were using so far actually gets the fuel rods kept actually bending the reactor. So after a few months of operations, let's say we had to shut it down, take them out of the middle and put them on the sides of the reactor where you don't have any issue with or you have enough space. This will actually go away. So I cannot quantify how much it will help because I don't have the number in front of me. But basically, it will get to the same level where we have Dukovany power plants, where we only shut down the plant for plant refueling, and not we don't have to shut it down for moving or shuffling the fuel inside the reactor that we would normally have not done. So that's basically, and this is actually one of our steps on the program that is called 15 terawatts, terawatt hours internally annually to be generated, one of the very significant steps.
How many days a year, or how many hours do you lose in having to shut it down to replace the rods?
In fact, we do it in a standard cycle, except now we don't replace just one quarter of the load, but the full load. So the downturn is not very different than from replacing just one quarter of the fuel. But more importantly, going forward, we will have to reduce the number of shutdowns because the fuel will last longer in the reactor until it has to be replaced. So the replacement will happen by one third instead of by quarters. And that saves downtime in over a longer period of time.
And when do you expect to have the new fuel fully operational within the plant? In other words, when do we start to see the benefits?
It will be right after we turn on back the reactor after the fuel replacement that is happening just now.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Igor Kovtuny. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, everyone. A couple of questions here. The first question is on the guidance on power production for the full year. Just on the slide 21 and on slide 22, you're guiding to an increase in power production for the full year of around 7.7%. Sort of take on board your points, what you mentioned about the high utilization and but if you would compare these numbers to your comments after the Q1 results, the number you have given before was about 4.5% increase year on year. What has changed in terms of your perception for the full year between when you spoke in, in May and now, that allowed you to increase this guidance both for power production and in terms of the expectations for the coal output as well? I saw that number went up as well. So that's question number one. Second question is in regards to the you walking away from Energa. Could you elaborate a little bit on the things that potentially put you off? So that's question number two. Question number three is on the impact of the photovoltaic plants on your distribution business. Just to be clear, did you say that the 1 or 2 billion impact is not currently in your guidance for 2010, or it is? And what about 2011? Would you expect the cost of you purchasing the power from the renewable sources being already factored in into the regulated tariffs or not? So these are the three questions. I'll stop here. Thank you.
All right, I'll try to address some or all of them. First, with regard to the increase in overall targets from our generation fleet, coal generation specifically, what happened is that we basically decided to utilize some of the lower quality coal that we have in the supplies of Severodvinsk that has very limited commercial usage anywhere else, and utilize it at the cost of extraction so that we can optimize the overall margin achieved in the whole value chain. And that led to some increase in dispatch of the power plants at positive contribution to the overall profits in CHESS. And that got coupled with, as I mentioned, expected better prices for the rest of the year and higher utilization. So all these factors lead to some positive adjustment vis-à-vis the numbers announced in May's expectations. On Energa, we refuse to comment at this moment. The tender is underway, and we just decided not to continue in the process, but the reasoning, you will have to wait until the whole process is over to get some details. It was a strategic decision to stop at this moment. And on the photovoltaics, we have issued the guidance with this remark already. So whatever is the negative impact for this year is not embedded in the numbers, but is above. We expect that after some initial sort of warning that this could be up to 2 billion, it might eventually end up less, but it all depends on the speed of construction until the end of this year. We don't expect the same problem to happen in the coming years unless there is again some very rash and unexpected boom happening in the same or another type of renewable generation. But now that is becoming much more transparent how the subsidies work and what it can trigger, we believe that such unexpected and wrong forecasts will not repeat.
Okay, just to clarify on the way the distribution tariff system works. So Can you just elaborate a little bit, just as a follow-up? So in the negative impact this year coming from the fact that, if I understand correctly, you have to purchase the electricity from the renewable sources, and this will be more expensive than from the other type of generation. Don't you have to, maybe I'm mistaken here, but don't you have to continue buying the electricity next year? So if this is the case, if you connect a few more plants,
We work just as a pass-through element in the chain.
Yeah.
We collect subsidies from customers
because
they bear the burden of paying for all these extra costs.
Okay.
And we pass it on to producers. And so the regulator has to, every year, has to make an estimate how much will need to be paid out in subsidies, and that amount is then projected in the regulated part of the tariff for end users.
Okay, understood.
And if that estimate is wrong, is too low, that means that for that year we collect less than what we have to pay out.
Mm-hmm.
That difference is recorded, and it's corrected the year after with basically cash in for us in 2 years after, since it enters in the tariffs of 2012, after it's calculated in 2011. So in 2 years we are sure to get it back in full. So that means that the only cost we carry is the cost of financing this gap for 1 or 1.5 years.
Okay, very clear. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Peter Bartek. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I would have a question on your Romanian wind parks. If you could elaborate a little bit on that. What contribution to EBITDA you expect this year and next year? I saw in your presentation that you already generated 3.5 gigawatt hours. I think it's not correct, I assume. And also, if you could tell us something about the green certificate business in Romania, this first question. Second would be on your effective tax rate. I saw that it was 15% in the second quarter. What was the reason for this low tax rate? And third question is regarding extension of Temelin. I saw that you would invite partners to this project. If you could tell us something about that.
So on Romania, the current phase of construction is, also in the presentation at the beginning, out of 139 turbines, there is already 47 built and connected to the grid. There is another 70 of them built and waiting for the connection, and there is already some production into the grid, as you mentioned, 3.5 gigawatt hours. We should finish the whole park before the end of the year. In fact, we should even be in the middle of the construction of the follow-up phase, the so-called Kocalac phase, where there is another 100 wind turbines designed to be built. So before the end of the year, we should ramp up the production to the full scale of phase one, and by mid-2011, we should be ready to have the full wind park up and running. Obviously, the biggest contributor to the profit margin is the so-called green certificates, as you mentioned. Here, the good news is that the Romanian government has approved a special increase in the subsidies by doubling the number of credits provided. So instead of one, there will be two for each megawatt hour produced from wind. However, this national legislation still needs to get notified in Brussels. That notification letter was already sent out and is awaiting approval from Brussels. In our understanding, it's more of a formal approval because similar cases in the past never caused any sort of detailed inquiries from Brussels. So whenever that is approved, the profitability will more or less double, and will beat all our forecasts for profitability of the investment. The actual contribution into this year is somehow sort of dimmed by this gradual phasing into the system. So we expect only marginal effect, maybe margin as the exact number.
Okay, so the effect of wind farms as they are being commissioned now is a few hundreds of million Czech crowns into EBITDA into 2010. With obviously, you know, when the wind farm will be up and running, it will be much higher contribution. So this is a comment, I think, to Fontana Kozelak. Regarding tax rate, the tax rate in the Czech Republic, where most of our income is coming from, has fallen again by 1 percentage point. There is also quite a few non-taxable charges that you have to subtract, and those are actually the ones that make the difference. Plus, there was a settlement of tax on 30th of June, and this is also in effect on second quarter. Temelín, I will hand over to Alan.
On Temelín, the discussion is broader, actually. We say that we see a unique opportunity for CEZ to be the leader in nuclear construction generations throughout the whole region of Central and Southeastern Europe, because this is a region where nuclear generation is the only sort of viable alternative to dependency on primary sources from Russia, especially. And there are some interesting projects that sooner or later will materialize, and some of them we participate already, like Slovakia or Romania. In others, there are long-term opportunities like Hungary, Poland, etc. So in case we follow up this lead and leverage our competitive advantage vis-a-vis some of the other potential investors, we believe we should consider doing it not only alone, but in some partnership with other key nuclear players in the industry, so that we can multiply the effects and take on more projects that we would otherwise be able to do on our own. If we stick to just the investments domestic, the need for partnership is definitely different than if we go and consider this regional nuclear strategy.
We just had comments to tax once more. Actually, from 15% to 17%. 6 billion chickens divided by 35 billion or 34.7 is closer to 17, or is more than 17. So those are the 2 percentage points that make a difference, actually.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Jean Dominique. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my questions again. Just briefly concerning your CapEx, well, if I'm looking at correct numbers, the CapEx for the first half of the year was some meager 23 billion Czech crowns, while your guidance you gave us at the beginning of the year of like in excess of 90. Is it that heavily backloaded that you will get close to the number, or how would you update the number in respect of the first half CapEx? Second question, also easy one, concerning the output which you presented in or which you generated in the second quarter. Well, it's actually some 15 terawatt hours, so it's just zero growth year over year. Whilst you mentioned earlier it was some in excess of 7% growth year over year in your core market, Czech Republic. What's the reason of such a divergence? Was it just the timetable of the plant shutdowns for your power plants? And third question, I would still come back to the mall option. I know that you must hate the question, but I'm completely lost, because if I look at the mall share price between the end of the first quarter and the end of the second quarter, it actually went down in all of the currencies that I can imagine, meaning HUF, foreign, Czech crown, or euro, which plays actually against you. The volatility over that period, it went up as well, so it should increase the value of the option as well, meaning playing again against you. Whilst if I read the statements correctly, there was some 550 million Czech crowns positive revaluation of the option, meaning that you got the value of the option down. So if you can give us any light about how to look at the item, if there is any way for us how to forecast it, because the option model for myself doesn't hold at all. And the last question, it would concern, let's say, your perception of the price sensitivity of the demand for power, because for retail as well as industrial customers, if you look at end tariffs, we are looking at massive increase next year, around 10% for retail, up to 20% as you mentioned, Mr. Svoboda, for the industrial. How do you see this increase undermining the demand next year? Thank you.
So I'll answer those two questions on CapEx and on MOL, and we'll leave over to Alan Power output and price sensitivity. So CapEx, as you correctly say, was about 90 billion. But that's also, and there are a few factors actually that have an impact on what you see versus how the total budget looks like. 23 spent in the first 6 months is obviously a function of a relatively tough winter at the beginning of this year, so we have a few months delay on some of the projects, or weeks, let's say. But as the date of reporting, CapEx is 30th of June, of course, that has an impact on the number. The heaviest construction season is actually second quarter and third quarter of the year, going down to, let's say, November, depending on weather conditions. So the projects that we have on the table for this year will be, and the progress actually will be achieved. Another important factor is that there was a pretty big chunk for renewable projects, and we will definitely not spend the entire CapEx budget for renewables, mainly photovoltaic plants. So that's actually another effect. You know, our estimate would be that the CapEx will be definitely lower than 90 billion Czech crowns. I don't have any precise number available now that I would be able to tell you, but we will definitely comment on it. When we issue our new guidance for 2011, we will be showing, as we normally do, a few years ahead of our CapEx profile, and I would expect it will be, you know, including this year, we will be able to see actually a full number, a bit lower than 90 billion for sure. With MOL option, you have a very good question. When we reviewed the model, and, you know, I mean, going in detail through the model would probably take a few tens of minutes, if not hours. But generally, the main impact on the model is the prolongation of the option. So the fact that we prolonged the option from 2011 to 2014 makes the biggest difference in the option valuation model that moves the numbers where they are. So this is the main factor that has the biggest influence.
All right, on the power generation vis-à-vis your consumption, I have to say that you should look at these two pieces of information completely separately, because consumption is a lot more as an indicator of the overall healthiness of the economy, but on the wholesale side, we sell to the retail market, and basically the only limitation of our ability to place power on the market is whether the production is in the money vis-à-vis the market price or not, and how available our power plants are. So this means that we are not constrained by the local consumption. In fact, the export capacities are so widely open that we could export probably as much as 40 or 50% of the overall production in the Czech Republic, because now the exports also go eastwards and other directions, including Poland, where time to time our prices are above the local levels. So that's the reason why generation is basically the equation of availability and market prices vis-à-vis our own costs, and end-user sales, it's about local consumption. And that also gives partially the answer to what happens if consumption stagnates or slows down in growth after the subsidies for renewables are projected into the tariffs of next year. we expect no impact on the wholesale side and on the retail side. Maybe the growth will slow down a little bit, but we are seeing basically zero price elasticity on the household side. It might trigger some change of behavior of the industrials and commercial off-takers. I'm afraid they have not realized yet fully what the scope of price change this subsidy system and the scope of renewable generation really triggers. But for us, the impact in this case will be very marginal.
Thank you. Just maybe one quick follow-up to the mall option. I'm surprised about the prolongation having such a big effect, because it actually happened already some time ago, so I would have expected that the changes to be transferred into the valuation model already like in a couple quarters ago when it actually happened. And on the top, well, if you prolong the maturity of the option, it actually increases its value, doesn't it? Or I'd be wrong to that, but that's what I thought so far. So it has affected the model again, not in your favor, but against you.
Yeah, but the main result of the prolongation of the option is that the sensitivity of the value of the option on the price changes has lowered. And what is more important in the is the basically changes in the time value of the options. So these two effects are working against each other.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a thorough explanation. Thank you, Bala. And thank you, gentlemen, for your answers.
And next question comes from the line of Philip Gottschalk. Please go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon. Philip Gottschalk speaking from Exane. I would like to ask two questions. First, what kind of margin do you expect to make in the medium term in the gas supply in the Czech Republic, and how fast do you see the liquidity in the Czech gas market increasing going forward? And second question, although you did not comment on your decision regarding Energa, would it be possible to get some insight into your decision regarding Steag? Was it simply too expensive, or were there particular regulatory issues in your mind that were making it difficult to value these assets? And also, given that you seem to put a brake on your external growth strategy, do you consider selling some assets? Thank you very much.
Okay, so on the gas supply margin for end users, we expect that long term the margins will stabilize on at the standard levels we see for other commodities, also in other markets. That means for the retail customers some 10% gross and then 5% net margin. Obviously, in the gas retail business these days, the opportunity is much bigger because the spot gas is much cheaper than oil-based gas. So either that benefit can be passed on to customers or can contribute further to the margin achieved. We don't expect this to last forever, so we are rather conservative in our longer-term margin estimates. I think what's more important is to get established in the market as a dual fuel supplier and to gradually build on this gas business, also other investments in gas infrastructure and inclusion of gas-fired power plants that we are building, so that we create a complex position in the gas market as we have already in the electricity side. With regard to the acquisition targets and our potential participation, we don't comment on Energa. We also don't provide much details on Steag, but on that one we were never, I would say, in a very serious acquisition mode, especially because this would be adding too much of the same type of generation assets to the portfolio that we already have.
Next question comes from the line of Natalie Casali. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I've just got just one question, which is on the Polish market, actually. PGE has talked about selling all its power on exchange from 2011. I was just wondering whether what do you think this can, what kind of impact this can have on traded prices in Poland, and how much is currently trading on exchange? Obviously, it's quite a small part of your business, but what kind of impact could it have for PGE going forward? Thank you.
Well, you have to send the response because in Poland this is a very new piece of legislation that requires every producer to go through the exchange. In fact, there is only one broker that is allowed to the exchange, so the situation is quite strange. For us it means only increasing the transaction cost at this moment without being able to judge very well what kind of impact this will have. But if over time this requirement gets translated in a standard exchange environment and trading procedures, then I believe it will be to the benefit of the market, because it will turn from a quasi-regulated into a truly market-based system, where also the price signals for new investments and for other commercial decisions will be based on the market rather than on expectation of what the next regulatory move will be in Poland.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the star key followed by 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, that is star 1 to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. And the next question comes from the line of Teresa Eschenwald. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Most of my questions have been answered already. One remains. How much was this bad debt provision related to Romania and Albania?
So, I think that the debt provision to Romania was about 0.4 billion Czech crowns, and Albania was, I think, below 1 billion Czech crowns, something like this. So that's the total number. So it's a big part of the 1.9 billion, actually.
Thank you very much.
Hi, good afternoon everyone, this is Louis from Signus. I had a question in relation to your view on power prices going forward, Alan. You said that you have reason to believe that 2012 onwards prices would go up. My question is, what do you think will drive this? Would it be gas prices, would it be coal prices, CO2, or more like supply side driven effect? What do you think would be the key factor there?
Okay, well, I don't believe much in supply side driver, because the cost curve is usually fairly flat, and so supply increases, supply demand changes will not make big shifts in the prices. But in my ranking, I would put the CO2 as number 1, gas as 2, and coal as 3. CO2 because we still don't see the impact of surge period hedging that many of the players will most likely engage in, and that might get triggered by the first auctions for the surge period happening a few months down the road. We might also see tightening of the European targets from 20 to 30%, which would again lead to, a step change in the CO2 price.
So do you think there will be an impact of the hedging of the CO2 and not being enough allowances? I mean, the company is not having yet the CO2 allowances ready, so there's going to be a pressure on case to allowances, or is that kind of effect?
Well, at least the power generators, most of them, will have to acquire 100% of these CO2 allowances on the market. And typically, due to risk management procedures, they cannot run naked positions, that is to sell power forward and not to have the fuel and the CO2. So at least when they start engaging in forward selling of the power into this period, they should also start hedging the CO2 exposures. plus, given the expectations that the fundamentals for the third period will lead to higher CO2 prices than the cost of carry forward of the current prices for today, it's very likely that they will actually hedge more than what's required for the pure sort of forward selling of electricity. It's, at least that's what we do, and we think that this is on the agenda of the other generators as well. On the the second in the row is gas. Gas is an interesting commodity because it got decoupled in two markets, oil-based and spot-based, and electricity prices are now greatly influenced by the spot prices of gas. But we have seen lately that the spot market has started to converge again to oil, and the whole system started to cool due to oil growth as well. So these are trends that show positive trends vis-a-vis the power prices. And there's also good, and I would say strong, reasoning for this happening, because all of the major global gas suppliers have vested interest in the markets to sort of recouple again or come close again to establish some order in the system. And for that, they have one very interesting option, and that is to basically bring all the excess gas to one single market globally, which would be the U.S., because there is plenty of import capacity available. There is almost no export capacity available, so it's like a cage in which you put the excess gas, obviously leading to very low prices in gas on that market, but cleaning up the excess gas in all the other markets. And experts say that this is what we are now observing on the market, and this would explain this faster than expected start of convergence back into the times prior to the energy crisis. And so if this scenario, if this rational is true, we should see in the near future stronger gas and therefore also stronger electricity prices.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, that is star 1 to register a question and the hash or pound key if you want to cancel. We appear to have no further question at this time. I have the conference back to you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you everyone for participating, and do not hesitate to contact Investor Relations if you have further comments or questions. Thank you and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation today. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect the lines. Thank you.